Good evening. We welcome each of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, inviting you to turn with us to hymn number 271, Standing as We Sing, Standing on the Promises, number 271, and join together in singing this great song of praise. Standing on the promises together, singing. Thank you, and you may be seated.
I hope you've taken a chance to look at your bulletin from this morning. You'll notice some additions to our prayer concerns for the coming week. We've got some events that are soon going to be upon us. First of all, the Teen Girls Retreat is coming. We've been talking about that a little bit on Sunday morning. We've also got the revival, which is going to be April 19th through the 23rd, and that will be here before we know it. So begin to be in prayer about that. And be in prayer for our Easter services. Obviously, that is such an important time in the life of any church, an annual reminder of why we are indeed part of God's people. And so those are moments that we really need to as a group, focus on and pray about. So be much in prayer about them. Any special prayer needs before we have a time of prayer this evening? I know that he had his, sir, anybody have something more recently than about 3 days ago? Yeah. Okay, that's what I had as well, that he had the surgery and got home was what I'd heard. It goes back in 2 weeks, okay. Guys combo. All right. Hearing nothing else, I'm going to ask Mark, why don't you lead our prayer tonight?
Thank you for the grace that you've given us, the forgiveness that you give us. Thank you for the weather that you've given us as well. We're blessed to be here in the house tonight. Pray that God.
Amen.
Before we have another congregational number together, our special tonight, I believe, is by Allison. Her mama was scheduled to sing tonight, but Allison would like to come and bless our hearts. So, Allison, you come on up here, and we're looking forward to your song tonight.
Hold on tight with all my mind and might to the war that's white and true. Ooh, I will hold on tight. No, I will not lose sight. What I'm holding on to you. You are the hope. The living hope and light. You are the Lord, wonderful Lord of my life. I will hold on tight with all my mind and might to the Lord that's white and true. Ooh, I will hold on tight. No, I will not lose sight. What I'm holding on to you. You are the hope, the living hope and light. You are the Lord, wonderful Lord of my life. I will hold on tight. With all my mind and might, to the Lord that's white and true. Ooh, I will hold on tight. No, I will not lose sight. What I'm holding on to you. What I'm holding on to you.
No better place to be holding on to than holding on to the strength of our Lord and Savior. And with that thought, we turn to number 330, only trust Him. For as we trust Him, we certainly can hold on to Him for every circumstance in life. Let's stand together and share in this song. After its pastor will come and share the message of the evening. Come every soul by sin oppressed. Particularly the last verse, we'll notice it says, Jesus is that way.
Trust him, only trust him, only trust him now.
Thank you, church. You may be seated.
I suppose there are a few words that we probably, well, I guess we ought to use a little bit of caution when we use them. And I guess it's probably more than a few. There's probably a lot of words that we should take caution with. But there's a few words tonight that I think that we use frequently, and I think we probably use them out of context because they don't really mean what we sometimes say they do. Words like always, never, and everyone. And we use these words even though they don't leave any room whatsoever for any sort of an exception. I mean, always is always, and everyone is everyone. And the problem isn't there always exceptions? I mean, the words hardly stop flowing off your lips before you're saying, like, well, everybody agrees with this before someone jumps up and says, I don't agree with that. Or every time you say, you know, I am always on time, and you look down at your clock and you realize you're 10 minutes late already. And even though these things are true, what I've just said, I'm still going to use the word everyone tonight. And you get to decide, I suppose, whether I'm using it appropriately or inappropriately, but based on the years of experience that I've had, it seems to me that it's okay to use everyone this time. What I'm saying is everyone, everyone, no exceptions, everyone in their spiritual journey, with their walk with the Lord, everyone has moments of doubts. Now, we know we shouldn't doubt, we know that, but we often do anyway. We know that God has always come through for us in the past, but somehow we find ourselves, when the circumstances come crashing in, we find ourselves wondering, not doubting, whether God will come through for us this particular time. And we know that God doesn't want us to doubt, but there we are, we're sitting right alongside of James and John and Peter and Andrew and the rest of the disciples, and Jesus is saying, you of little faith, why do you doubt? And the doubts, man, they can come in all kinds of different sizes, shapes, forms. They're just everywhere. Some people, you know, they doubt whether they can teach Sunday school, or they doubt whether they can lead some sort of a Bible study. A lot of times you hear people doubting their ability to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You know, Pastor, I'm just afraid. They're going to ask me something that I can't answer, or somehow I'm just not going to say the right thing. I just don't think I can be a witness for Jesus. And because of it, sometimes because we're doubting in that way, I mean, we teach our children the song, right? This little light of mine, right? You know the song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. But what do? We often let it hide it right under that bushel. We absolutely know better. We know that we shouldn't. We know that God's with us. We know He's going to give us the things that we... If we'll take that step into the zone of the unknown and say, okay, Holy Spirit, lead me. I'm going to go up to that person, and I'm not sure where this conversation is going to go, but if you'll give me the words, I'm going to speak them. And yet we pull back because we doubt. And that's a bad thing, by the way, because doubting's a deal breaker with God. And it always has been. When Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink very quickly, the Jesus asked him point blank, he said, Peter, why did you doubt? And I've got to believe Peter didn't know why he doubted. I don't know how he answered that question, really. I mean, think about what had already happened. He had seen Jesus walking on the water. He had heard Jesus say, okay, you get to walk on the water too. And he was actually walking on the water. Why did he doubt in that moment? Why on earth would he take his eyes off Jesus in that moment? I don't know, but I know this. I know the moment that he took his eyes off Jesus and the moment he began to doubt, he began to sink, because doubting is a deal breaker with God. Well, and last week, we talked about how Jesus said when we put faith and prayer, we couple them together, that mountains get moved.
But if we don't have any faith in our prayers, then we shouldn't expect any movement in those mountains. Why? Because doubt, it's a deal breaker. And when it comes to wisdom, and who doesn't really want to be considered wise? I mean, if somebody's talking about you, I mean, you don't want to say, boy, you know, they're such an idiot or a fool. You want to say, no, they're wise, man. If you've got a problem or you've got a situation, go talk to them because, man, I'm telling you, they're straight on. They know what they're talking about. And so who doesn't want to be wise? And there's not a person in here today or tonight that we can't be wise according to Scripture because we are told by Scripture, God's Word, that if we ask for it, God will give it to us. There's only one exception. Okay, there's only one prerequisite. In James chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously, not to some, but to all, generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. See, it's a deal breaker every single time. Well, tonight we're going to be reading from, well, the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to start in chapter 1. And quite honestly, we start out, and Jeremiah is considered indeed one of the major prophets, and rightfully so. But what we find out is when Jeremiah started this journey of being a prophet of the Lord, he had some doubts. He had some doubts. In fact, verse 4, chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. And do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. And then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me. See, the call really was very, very simple. There's not much to it at all. God said, I want you to be one of my prophets. And very poetically in that language, I mean, God reminded Jeremiah, said, before you even were, I knew you. And not only that, I had a very special plan for you. I mean, it's never like this. God up there thinking, let me see if I can figure out something for Rodney to do. No, God knows what he wants us to do. He has a plan for our lives. There's no wondering about it. God knows it. Well, God says, Jeremiah, I want you to be a prophet. But Jeremiah countered with this. Well, wait a minute. God, no, not so fast. Look, God, here's the deal. I'm pretty young here, God, and you know, there's a bunch of stuffy old people, and they're not going to listen to me whatsoever. They're not going to pay attention to me. And God countered Jeremiah's complaint. He said, look, don't worry about it, Jeremiah. Look, I'm going to be with you. I'll tell you what to say, and I'll tell you even who to say it to. You just have to do what I tell you to do, and remember, Jeremiah, I am with you. You see, Jeremiah simply tried to pull a Moses, didn't he? It didn't work, by the way, and it didn't work for Moses either. And if you're wondering, it's not going to work for you either. Okay? Moses threw up all those excuses about why God should get somebody else to go get the people of Israel out of Egypt. In fact, one of the things that Moses countered with was simply this. Look, I'm not eloquent of speech. I'm not very good in front of people. I don't like talking in front of people. People are scary. They look mean at you and stuff. You know, I don't want to do it. But God said, who gave man his mouth? And the point is, well, that would be you, God. And God said, not only did I give man his mouth, I know how to put the words in it that I want coming out of your mouth. See, excuses. Excuses don't work with God. God saw right through Jeremiah's excuses. I mean, imagine that, of course, that God seeing through and realizing that what was really going on in Jeremiah's case. The case was Jeremiah was afraid. That was blown out. He said he was afraid. And so God said, look, don't be afraid. And why? Because I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to tell you what you need to say and who you need to say it with. And If you need some encouragement along the way, do a concordance study on fear or being afraid, or do a Bible search. And over and over and over, what you're going to find in reference to us and God is God saying, don't be afraid, primarily because God is telling us, I'm going to be with you. And if God is with us, who can be against us? And even if they are against us, if God is for us, it doesn't matter because God is with us. See, aren't you glad that God didn't call you to be a prophet? Because you don't have to stand up in front of people. But the truth is, you're called. And the truth is, God has a wonderful plan for all of us. And it's great that the calling and the purpose and the plan, and whatever word you want to use in that particular instance, it's not based on our abilities or our limitations. Because here's a trustworthy saying. We've all blown it. We've all messed up, and quite frankly, we don't bring a whole lot to the table. Not a one of us. But our calling isn't based on what we bring to the table or even our failures. It's based upon God. I mean, if failing was a forfeiture of ever being used by God, who could be used? Moses certainly could not have been used because he killed an Egyptian. That disqualified him if that was the case. David, he would not have been able to have been used by God because he had an affair, and then he, in order to cover the affair, he had the husband killed in order to kind of hopefully let it slide. Nobody would know that he was guilty. Peter, he couldn't have been used because he not only denied Jesus, he called down curses on himself and said, I don't know the man. And Paul, he's disqualified. He can't be used. He persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. But thank God for forgiveness. Paul would write in him, in Christ, in Jesus, we have redemption. We've been bought back through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance to the riches of God's marvelous and amazing grace. And when we are forgiven, we are told by the psalmist that God says, I'm going to take that sin in you and I'm going to put it as far as the east is from the west. In other words, it's never, ever going to be an issue with you ever again. Sure, we've all failed. We've all fallen short. That's not the issue. And every time we step back and we doubt, see, it's an insult to God because when we doubt our calling, when we doubt what God is asking us to do, it's not that we're doubting ourselves. Because in the end, we're doubting God. We're doubting that God has the ability to give us what we need. See, we all have plenty of limitations, and that really is true. I mean, some are young, some are old, some, you know, we got all kinds of limitations. But hear this, the qualification for the calling is in the calling. That's what qualifies us for it, is when God calls us to us. See, God has a plan for us, just like Jeremiah, and ours is to have faith in God. And God could force us to do it if God chose to do things that way, but God has never chosen to do that things. Even when it comes to salvation, God's not willing that any should perish, so that's true. And God has done everything in his ability that we might embrace him, choose him, but he lets us choose. And in that choice, millions of people reject God and God's calling upon their life. Millions are on that broad and easy road that's leading them away from Calvary, but leading them to destruction. Truth is, there is something to be afraid of this evening. It's not what other people think. It's not our circumstances. We ought to be afraid of rejecting God. We should be afraid of not living out God's will for our lives. That should make us quake in our boots tonight. That should make us very much afraid that we are not fulfilling that which God has appointed us to do. And when you think about it, when you think about our calling and the plan that God has for us, I mean, it's the same God that created the universe. How meticulous that is. In the town of Copenhagen, Denmark, there is a special clock tower there. And it's older now, but at the time, it took 40 years to build this clock at a cost of more than $1 million, which was a real lot. I mean, that was a lot of money. It has 10 different faces, 15,000 moving parts, and the clock computes the time of day, the day of the week, months, years, even tracks the movement of planets in our solar system for 2,500 years. It's an impressive clock. But you know what? It loses 0.25 seconds every 300 years. It's not perfect. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, what it goes to show us is no matter what we do as human beings, we just are not going to be perfect. You want to know how they plan to recalibrate the clock, that 2/5 of a second every 300 years? They're using the movement of the planets, which God created and God put into motion, because God is a God of great detail. And when God put billions of parts moving in our universe, and yet it moves precisely, precisely the way God intended. That's the God that has called us. That's the God that says, don't be afraid, I'm going to be with you. Don't be afraid, I'm going to give you what you need. If you need words to speak, I'm going to give you those words. I'm even going to direct you to the people in which I want you to speak those words. And one last thing about Jeremiah's calling that I think, well, to me, as I read it this past week, it's like, oh, that's the bookends of the calling. The bookends. And you find them in both verse 4 and in verse 11. And both of those verses start out with the same words. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. See, that is our foundation, and it is God's words that always make the difference. I mean, we know that God's words are powerful and infallible and inspired. These words rebuke us, and they guide us, and they correct us. They console us, they challenge us, and they comfort us. I mean, you've got to love what God said through another prophet. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but will accomplish what I desire, and it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. See, we stand on the word. We stand, and it is a solid and true foundation for us, and no one can knock us off the word. Now, just because we're doing what God wants us to do, even where God wants us to do it, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to like it and appreciate what we're doing. They certainly didn't Jeremiah. Because if you read through the events of that man's life, he was persecuted over and over and over and time again. Why? Only because he was saying what he was told to say and doing what he was told to do. Not everybody appreciated it, but they couldn't, here's the thing, they couldn't shut him up because it was the word of God. He was standing on it. They tried, but they could not shut him off. Well, we stand on the word of God. It's not going to fail us, and it will always see us through. Ours is to stand up and to speak up, and there is no going back. I mean, we need to embrace the calling and understand that God has something for us to do. Jeremiah, where we talk, yes, he was called and he was sent. There's no different. Each and every one of us, we are all called and we are all sent. And here's a use of always and never that I think is appropriate tonight. God will always be with us. And God will never let us down. Lord, we thank you for the beauty and the power of the words to Jeremiah. But more importantly, Lord, we thank you because in that word and in his calling, we recognize that you have placed a calling and a purpose upon us. And the promises that you made to Jeremiah, we believe, again, apply to us tonight. We believe that you are always going to be with us. And we believe that even in our moments of doubt, that you can take them away and help us to go forth. Not timidly, but with a sense of purpose and understanding that we stand upon your word, and your words will not come back void. But Lord, your word is powerful, and they do accomplish. So Lord, this week, may your words be ever on our lips. And may we have the sense of faith and boldness that comes from knowing that you're with us, that we might speak your words to other people. Because Lord, this week, we're all going to encounter people that are hurting. And they need to understand that the foundation of their life that they need to build their life upon is upon you and your word for them. We know that's what they need to do because, Lord, that's what we need to do. So guide us tonight and help each and every one of us that we might recognize our calling and that you have sent us and how we look forward to serving you this week. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. God bless you. You are called and sent.